Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Kentucky needs a miracle. Here comes Hagan. Throws through Washington, a three-pointer. Shot no good. Rebound down to Harper. And he puts it away. He's dribbling the clock away. For the first time ever, Auburn is going to the Final Four. In overtime, Auburn knocks off Kentucky 77-71.
There it is, Auburn, the first Final Four in university history. I want to bring on George Schroeder, USA Today. George, how are you, man?
Man, I'm good. Decompressing after a really nice Elite Eight weekend and kind of hoping we get the same kind of matchups and entertainment out of the Final Four.
A lot being made today of the absence of the top 100 2018 prospects, that these are all veteran teams that were very mentally tough. Is that oversimplifying, or do you agree with that?
I'd like to say yes to both, because it's a little bit oversimplification in that the ball bounces funny sometimes, and I know it's round, so it doesn't really bounce funny, but, you know, we were just a couple of different shots and calls and whatever else away from Duke and Kentucky both being in there. Obviously, they're sort of the premier one and done type of people, Duke being the poster children for it this year. It easily could have been them in the Final Four, and we wouldn't be having this discussion. But there's definitely a case to be made that having a veteran team with upperclassmen who maybe didn't have quite the same star rating out of high school in terms of the recruiting rankings is a more tried and true formula, and it definitely bears out right now when you look at like a Texas Tech in there, for example, or the way Tony Bennett recruits at Virginia, even Auburn too, and Michigan State, you know, the Goins kid who hit the go-ahead three-pointer is a fifth-year senior who started as a walk-on. So, I mean, there's definitely something to be said for that, but all that said, you know, things have bounced just a little bit differently. We might have half the Final Four filled up by the two foremost programs for the one and dones.
What makes Auburn good? You got a chance to see them up close. What makes them go?
Well, first of all, the two guards are terrific. Bryce Brown and then Jared Harper. They combined for 50 of the 77 points. Harper had 12 of the 17 in overtime, and they're quick, fearless, and you know, can score on you. And they're also really pesky defensively. And Auburn's kind of a throwback team to the days when people pressed you full court all the time and really got in your grill. We don't see that as much. And then they forced the pace offensively. And I would say this for all of the Auburn team, the entire Auburn team just has no conscience. They will let it fly from anywhere all the time. That didn't prove out against Kentucky. They're actually pretty smart. When Kentucky closed out the three, they went inside. But I just love the fact that they don't care and they'll shoot it from anywhere all the time. And there's apparently no such thing as a bad three-pointer for them. But I think it's those two guards. The two guards make them go. It might be the best backcourt in the country.
George Schroeder with us, USA Today. I look across and you see a representative from the ACC, from the SEC, from the Big 12. You know where I'm going, the Big 10. Pac-12's not in this thing and hasn't had they've had only one appearance in the decade in the Final Four.
Yeah. Thank the Ducks for that one, right?
But accidental? What's going on?
No, I don't think it's accidental. I mean, well, first of all, it's UCLA's got to play better basketball. Arizona's got to play better basketball. Obviously, UCLA's in the middle of a coaching search, and Arizona could be in one at some point here. But your two bell cows have to be the bell cows. First of all, it's great that Oregon goes, if you're talking about it from a Pac-12 perspective, but that needs to be an add-on. You know, the big deal, it's a little bit like, remember when the Big 12 football was in an existential crisis? When Oklahoma sort of carried the load and now Texas looks like it's on its way back, all of a sudden they feel a lot better about themselves. So you need USC to be really good in football in the Pac-12, and you need the basketball powers to be really good in basketball. And then if the Oregons of the world and the Washingtons of the world and whoever else is of the world are good, that's terrific. But you've got to have the traditional programs, those top 5, 10, 15 programs of all time, have got to be good. And I don't know if and when that's going to change. I think that's the big problem.
I look across this Final Four and I go, okay, you got Tony Bennett at Virginia, you got Izzo at Michigan State. Obviously, you know, you look at Texas Tech and they're the team maybe nobody saw coming. And then you got Bruce Pearl in Auburn. He's the only one mentioned in this NCAA corruption scandal. Does that become a story between now and when these games get played?
Well, yes, and it kind of depends on whether or not you want your email inbox filled with stuff from Auburn fans, I guess, because Nancy Armour, my colleague at USA Today, wrote about him in advance of the Sweet 16 round that we just finished in Kansas City, and took a ton of heat for it. But I think she wrote the right thing, which is, he sort of symbolizes the rot that's in college hoops. I say that, and I don't know what makes Bruce Pearl any different than a whole lot of other guys, quite frankly. So I don't know why we have why we necessarily single him out. Although I will say this, I think out of that group of guys, Tony Bennett might be one of the best men coaching in the NCAA. I think that's what Tony Bennett is. He is just terrific as a person before we ever talk about as a basketball coach. So, I mean, if it was me, I'd prefer to go, let's focus on him. But yes, it does feel like what among these things is different? Well, Izzo hasn't been accused of significant NCAA violation. Chris Beard has not either, and I don't have any reason to suspect he will. But he's, 4 years ago, he was the coach at Angelo State, a Division II school in Texas. So it's not like he's got a big track record. But if you look at his teams, you look at his team right now, it's a bunch of three-stars and transfers. So, and the one thing I would say about Bruce Pearl is this. The FBI scandal part of it touched an assistant in Chuck Person, who was a former Auburn standout, obviously. It didn't appear to be the kind of thing where it was the systemic deal where they're trying to get recruits, the kind of stuff that we think might get Sean Miller at some point, that might touch Bill Self at Kansas at some point. It appeared to be more of the Chuck Person cutting side deals with agents to sort of funnel the players who are already on campus to the agents. It didn't appear to be a Bruce Pearl thing, if I'm going to be fair to Bruce.
We're talking to George Schroeder, USA Today. I saw the stat today. Only 0.2% of people correctly predicted the Final Four. What do you think of it now? Who do you like to play for the national championship?
Oh, wow. Well, by the way, I had one of the teams, and it was Texas Tech.
Saw him coming.
I did see them coming, and that may be because, I'm located sort of geographically these days in the Big 12 footprint, so I see them kind of by osmosis a little more often than you would others, and their defense was so good. But I didn't feel great about it because I thought the Zags were terrific, and let's be honest, they were terrific. That's another one of those, the ball bounces differently, and you never know what happens. But I think I like Virginia, believe it or not. All of a sudden, based on who's in the Final Four opposite them, I think they will close out the threes and protect the middle and have the quickness at guard a little bit more to deal with the Auburn guards more than Kentucky had. So I think they have a shot to shut down Auburn and get to the finals. And then I don't really know. To me, Michigan State and Texas Tech is going to be a crazy fun game, a little bit like the Michigan-Texas Tech game was in the Sweet 16. I don't know who comes out of that, but I just think maybe this is the year for the Cavs to do it. And to do it with a team that, I think we wrongly say, oh, they're not as athletic as other guys. Oh, they play, it's all because of their style of play. This is a more athletic team than we've seen Tony Bennett have at Virginia. And I think maybe given what else is in the field, there's a decent shot they go win it.
George Schroeder, USA Today. Before I cut you loose, you mentioned Bennett. You got Izzo at Michigan State. I wondered about the 5 to 6 day preparation period between the end of the Elite Eight and the start of the Final Four. Is there an advantage to any one of these coaches? Like, is there a guy where you go, oh, you just gave Tom Izzo 5 days of preparation? Like, which of those coaches do you think can make the biggest impact with the delay?
Well, let me say this. Not against Chris Beard, I don't say that.
Yeah.
When they had 5 days to prepare for Tony Benford, the LSU interim coach, I absolutely thought, yeah, this is not going to go well for the Tigers. And it didn't. They lost by 17. It wasn't that close. But Chris Beard, look, he's got a five-year, what is he, maybe 5 years as a head coach total. So it's not like he has a bunch of accomplishments on his resume. But there are a whole lot of people that think he's one of the top coaches right now who you'd line up X's and O's against the next guy. They think he's one of those guys that fits in that conversation. I think that's correct. But when I look at, I mean, I look at all four of these guys, and I think you've got four big-time X's and O's guys. I don't see a giant matchup disparity like we sometimes see in these situations where when a team gets out. And that includes Auburn. Obviously, they've gotten really, really hot. They've won 12 in a row. And whatever anybody thinks about how Bruce Pearl operates outside the lines, his X's and O's skills, I think, are really, really good, too. I'm not trying to be wishy-washy. I just don't see that decided edge. I guess I would give it to Bennett over Pearl, but I wouldn't give an edge to either one of them in the other matchup. And if I was going to, it might be Chris Beard.
George Schroeder, you're the best. I appreciate you making time for us.
Hey, thanks, man. I look forward to seeing you sometime.
I know people in Eugene, they miss you like hell, and people in the state of Oregon as well. So are you going to the Women's Final Four? You want to go see Sabrina Ionescu, or are you going to Minneapolis?
Let me tell you, I wish I could. It'd be a lot of fun. I've gotten a chance to watch the Oregon women's team a couple times, you know, and really like what I see. And I think I'm sure it's tremendous fun for the folk in Oregon, too. They could go win this thing. They're, you know, obviously, we don't even know who they're going to play yet. That gets decided today.
But I think they get Baylor. Probably,
yeah,
Baylor.
I do, too. I'm guessing. And that's a really good Baylor team. But I think they could win it. And how cool would that be? But just getting to the Final Four, you know, obviously, especially given where that program came for, is terrific. I'm going to Minneapolis and answer your question. I would love to be able to go to Tampa for a variety of reasons, including the climates of those places in early April. But
yeah.
But I'm going to Minneapolis.
85 in Tampa. All right, George, I appreciate you, man.
All right, hey, thank you.
There he is, USA Today's George Schroeder. All right, Oregon Live's got a four-team bracket. If you want to pick the Final Four, you can do that. And they've got a multiple tiebreakers. You go to OregonLive.com/bracket. You can enter now. You didn't have to be in line all along. You could fill out a Final Four bracket. All right, leave it here. Our golf update brought to you by The Reserve is coming up. Our golf update brought to you by The Reserve is coming up. According to a new book out, President Trump cheats at the highest level in golf. According to a book. That's one sentence. What else you got in the book? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that's like news-breaking stuff. People cheat at golf. Doesn't make it right, but people do it. Our golf update's coming up. We got a bunch of people holding. Christina's in Portland. Christina, what's up?
Hey, John. It's Christina. I called to give you information about my run. And it is December 4th at May 4th at Coretta Park.
Okay, we're going to do this, Christina. I'm going to have you give the info to the screener, and then we will promote it in front of that. I thought you wanted to talk about your bracket.
Yeah.
Did you lie to get on the air? Did you lie to the screener? Did you fib to get on the air?
No, and said I picked West Virginia.
All right. You like Virginia.
Yeah.
Alabama Adriana likes Auburn. By the way, Alabama Adriana, Auburn wins that game against Kentucky. That video goes out of all the students and people running to Toomer's Corner. What is Toomer's Corner for listeners?
Toomer's Corner is like a little block in downtown Auburn, and after every win, the fans will go and roll the trees over there, which is like you throw the toilet paper in the trees.
Roll the trees, okay. Are people inebriated when they're doing this?
Usually, yes.
Good place to hang out if you're a 20-something college kid?
Well, it's just a place to celebrate.
Yeah. It was daylight hours, too. Like, I saw people who are, there was one guy pushing a stroller in the video.
Yeah.
People just kind of rolling up there. Did it make you miss Auburn?
It put me in my feels for sure. I definitely am nostalgic.
I got a message from somebody over the weekend who was upset that we call you Alabama Adriana because you are an Auburn fan who happens to be from the state of Alabama. They are saying that we should change your name to Auburn Adriana.
It doesn't like sound the same though.
Alabama, so it's a syllable thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Adriana, Alabama, Adriana. See, it goes together. It's poetry.
And I'm from the state of Alabama.
Yeah, it wasn't a poet who did it. Are you rooting for Auburn now? Is that your team?
That's been my team.
Suddenly, are you on board now with Auburn?
I've always been a fan.
I like how Christina lied to get on the air because she told the screener she wanted to talk about her bracket. And then she came on to promote her event, which we're going to help her promote. But anyway, it brings us to our golf report brought to you by the Reserve. I'm going to go offbeat with this one.
The Golf Report, teed up by the Reserve.
I saw an interesting story about golfing. Is golfing a word? Think about this. Even Golf Digest refrains from using the word golfing in their stories. Only golfers use the noun form of the word, which typically follows the verb play, having played or playing golf. Real golfers will say, I play golf, or I'm playing golf. Non-real golfers will say, I'm going golfing. What is the right way to say it? Bobby, let's go to you. Golfing a word or no?
Golfing? Yeah.
According to Golf Digest, it's not a word.
I'm going golfing.
I'm going to play golf.
I'm going to play golf. That's how you're supposed to
say it. That's how you're supposed to say it.
You know what? Is it in the Webster's Dictionary?
I didn't look at it, but I wanted to go offbeat. And Golf Digest says, stop using golfing, you non-golfers. So don't say, I'm going golfing at the Reserve. Say, I'm going to play golf.
That sounds
at the Reserve.
Snooty.
It's not snooty.
It sounds
it's snooty. Proper.
It sounds snooty.
By the way, President Trump cheating at the highest level, according to a new book that's out. Is this an April Fool's joke? Commander-in-Chief, they're calling him the Commander-in-Cheat in the book. It's subtitled. By the way, the book is written by former Sports Illustrated columnist Rick Riley, who has been on this show and has told that story on this show. So I love that we have that inside info on that book. So, I don't know. I don't know if that's a big thing. Here's what Riley said on this show about playing golf with President Trump.
Love that.
I'm like, I caddied for him for my book, Who's Your Caddy? And I thought I'd seen cheating because I played with Bill Clinton. The way he cheats, he takes cheating to a new level. I never seen cheating like this, aside from Lance, I guess. Like, one time we were playing a medal bet, he and I, that means total score. And so I hit it in close for, I think it was a par or something. And he said, that makes this good, doesn't it? And he was off the green, and he picked it up. And I said, Donald, did you just take a gimme chip in? I said, well, he goes, well, yeah, but you're in for five. So, yeah, but it's total score. Well, whatever. And then he took my foot slipped. And then he said, give me a four, even though I had a five. Yeah. And you were talking. And, and there was one story about him at Bel Air Country Club in L.A. The caddy saw the ball go in the middle of the pond, saw the ripples. But Trump always takes a cart. He always takes his own cart with nobody in it.
Yeah.
And by the time the caddy got up there, the ball was in the fairway. And I swear to God, the caddy said, but Mr. Trump, I saw it go in the pond. And Trump goes, must have been the tide.
Rick Riley with us.
He said he shot 66 at Bel Air. And we asked the caddy, and they said 79 at best. So... You know what I say about golf? It's like bicycle shorts. It reveals a lot about a guy.
Yeah.
And the way this guy cheats reveals a lot about him.
There's Rick Riley, who's now written a book about the commander in cheat, as he calls it. I don't think that is a character statement on the golf course. Because he even mentioned Clinton. I think it depends. Because Look, I got to be honest. I go out to the reserve. I play golf. I'm not playing golf to try to shoot 66, okay? I'm playing golf because I'm enjoying a nice day. Maybe I'm trying to break 100. Maybe I'll make a goal and I'll say, all right, I want to be at 45 through 9. That's my incentive. Well, I'm not playing for money with somebody and keeping score like that. Maybe I would be a different player. So I don't feel that pressure to lie about my score. You know, I'm just not that good.
Yeah, it's more just like each hole. That's, you know, if I can put together four shots really good, then I'm happy.
Just enough to keep you coming back. All right, our 2 o'clock hour. Now.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.